Please take your Bibles and turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Begin reading at verse 1. It's found on page 1244 in the Bibles that are there in the pew racks. Ephesians 5. Galatians, Ephesians. We'll focus on verses 15 through 16. We'll read the first 21 verses. Congregation, hear now the very words of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now our text. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, our text, verses 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Congregation, we've entered into a new year, the year of our Lord, 2021. 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days this year ahead of us, if the Lord tarries. How will you use that time? That's a good question to ask, to ponder, to answer as we begin this new year, a question God gives direction to. As I proclaim to you this morning from God's word in Ephesians 5, use your time wisely in these evil days. Use your time wisely in these evil days. And first we consider these are evil days. Up to this point, these verses in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul had been writing about the difference between believers and the unbelieving culture of his day, what unbelievers do. We read a whole list of wicked activities and how the apostle wrote that these ought not to occur among the saints. He even said, let it not be named among you. There is a clear difference between the lifestyle of the unbelieving world and the lifestyle of the saints. All these wicked acts come under the heading of darkness, a great spiritual darkness, moral darkness, in which the unbelieving world is mired. Now, it doesn't mean that the unbeliever is as bad as he or she can be, or that there's no kindness out there. God restrains the acts of evil through various means, particularly the civil government. Evil acts are restrained in God's providence, and we're thankful for that. But there is so much evil that goes on. This was the case in the Apostle Paul's time, in the Greek and the Roman cultures. It's also somewhat the case in our time, ever increasing in our time. One can hardly have on the television or the internet or listen to the radio, open the newspaper, go to the store, and the spiritual, the moral darkness, it's evident. Evident with young and old alike, with male and female. Then the apostle, he summarizes this and he gives the root problem for why things are the way they are. We find that at the end of verse 16. He says, because, he gives the cause, the source, because the days are evil. Now that's more than just a statement of observation. It gets at the root, at what is observed, why it is that case. It is a judgment on the world in Paul's day and our own day. The days are evil. We live in evil days. Now, it's not just us, though. It's not just some who say, well, look back, boy, I remember when I was a young boy, a young girl, and things were so much better. No, the days have been evil since Paul's time, but even further back, ever since the first man, Adam, sinned and plunged himself and the entire human race into sin, into guilt, into darkness. Mankind has not reformed himself in the thousands of years before Paul, thousands of years since. Mankind cannot change, no matter what New Year's resolutions are made. Left to himself, man continues to spiral down into spiritual darkness, moral filth. Romans 1, we did not read it this morning, we could have, it makes clear. Part of God's judgment against man's sin is to give man over to his sin, to ever-increasing sin. It's because of Adam's sin that the days are evil and they will remain evil, because sin stains all mankind. It gave the entrance for sin and death into this world, Adam's original sin. It's the reason why sin continues to bind and blind man to this day. And Adam's fall was the fall of every human born from him. On that day, the day he sinned, since that day, all the days are evil. And so these are evil days. Congregation, the danger is real. Now, our God has spared our country in the past. He has spared our area, the Midwest, and our area of the Midwest. He's been particularly merciful, hasn't he? The evil is here as well. It's in our neighborhoods. It's in our schools. It's on our airwaves. It becomes more open every day. The underlying spirit of the age, it's not changing toward being more and more for God. But it's always against, and it cannot be changed by mankind or the passing of time. It's the condition of this fallen world. This is what God says. The days are evil. Now, this is to be in our mind. Is it in your mind? As you turn on the television, perhaps, or the radio, as you tune into a program produced by our unbelieving culture, that the days are evil, the spirit of the age is evil. Young people, young adults, if you watch a film, do you go in viewing, reminding yourself, this is a product of these evil days? It doesn't mean there aren't profitable things that can be found. I'm not saying that. But this product comes from those who are in darkness. Be on guard. Be alert. Now, does this mean we should shun all involvement with our culture because the days are evil? Oh, we'll get on to that later in this sermon. Right now, we want to pause to just think about what God is telling us here. He's warning us the days are evil. We have to start there. That's our starting point. It's what separates so many different religious viewpoints. Are things getting better and better, evolving by themselves, or the goodness of man? Or is it because of the fall of man? These days are evil. We have to start there. Don't be deceived. Don't be naive. And this isn't just for left-wing unbelief. It's for right-wing unbelief as well. Yes, again, there are many good things in the world around us. Everything God created is good. Yes, God has given us many blessings. The apostle isn't focusing about those here. He's addressing the foundation, the root of all the immorality we see around. The days are evil. Because of that, because there is this evil, it means the kingdom of heaven is absent from the culture in and of itself, in what it is. The apostle brings that out very clearly when in verse 5, listing some of the acts of darkness, he says, the one who does these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And then he writes, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The days are evil, and those who belong to these days, this culture, are those outside the kingdom of God, under God's wrath. Do not be deceived, people of God, young and old. The pleasure, the life, the blessedness that the world proclaims, the world tries to sell to you, or give it away free, at least the first time. They're empty. They're hollow. Even worse, they're under God's wrath. They're not neutral. There is no life or blessedness ultimately there from them. Now, as the books are now closed on the year 2020 and we've entered into 2021, no, there has been no change. The year is new, yes, the calendar is new, but the days are not. They are evil, evil still. People of God, this is the world in which we live. It is not a friend to grace to help you on to God. The days are evil. We cannot get around our calling by saying the days are not evil. Well, that was Paul and his culture, that Roman culture, that Greek culture, that Jewish culture. Things have changed since then, from when God had the apostle pen this. So the election did not change the days. A vaccine for the pandemic is welcome, but a vaccine doesn't change the day. Nothing has changed since the apostle wrote this in that regard. It's the same fallen world. The days are still evil. And you cannot be friends then with these days. You cannot live within them as the world does. Well, some might say, well, evil is what some persons are, you know, Hitler, right? Some others. That doesn't describe my neighborhood, my country, my time. But it does. The days are evil right here in Dutton. And this forms the background for understanding our duty in this new year and at all times. There might not be many mistakes written in this year yet. They'll come. But the days themselves are evil. And so wickedness will be written in these books as the year progresses. Be saddened, but don't be surprised. It's this bad, dear saints. Things are not getting better in themselves. Young adults, do you know that? Remind yourself, remind each other. Again, the next time you turn on the television or think about watching a film or listening to music on your phone, there is the spiritual danger around us. In this way, the Christian church does not affirm the evil that is around us. We stand in opposition to it. For as we consider in our second point, By God's grace, we have been redeemed from evil. Redeemed from evil. Yes, evil are the days, but that is not the major note in the Christian faith. That is not the major theme in our lives anymore. God inspired his apostle to write to the Christians in Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 1. He called them saints. That's the you that he's referring to in our text this morning. He uses the same word in this chapter, chapter 5, saints. Now, the word saint, it's a made-up word because we don't have a proper word to translate what Paul literally wrote here in the Greek. He wrote literally holies. That is, he took the adjective holy and he uses it as a noun. So we use the word saints, but we could also say holy ones. Could use that too. He's writing to those who are holy, who are set apart from evil, set apart to God. This is what it is to be holy, set apart. The apostle also wrote of these Christians, these saints, in verse 8, as light, children of light, children of God. Verse 1, beloved children, we were by nature evil. Evil ones. Take holy ones and flip it around, evil ones. Part of the sons of disobedience. We are by nature no different than anyone else in the world. But God has called us out of the world. He sent his holy Son, Jesus, who suffered and died as a sacrifice for sin, who put sin to death, who on the third day rose from the dead. He paid for our sin. He set us free from sin and death, set us free, set us apart to live, to really live in righteousness and holiness. He redeemed us. He bought us back. The word the apostle used in verse 16, which we read in our Bibles, making the best use of the time. It's literally redeeming. Redeem the time. Do this because you have been redeemed. Redemption, that is a theme. That is a major theme in your life. God redeemed you, saint. Jesus did something real by his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection. He has actually brought not evil, but righteousness, holiness, life into our existence. The kingdom of heaven has come. The light of God's glory has dawned in Christ. And all those who entrust themselves to Jesus, God forgives you, forgives you. Not because of our works, not because we try this or because we flipped over a new year or because we have these resolutions or we want to be better. No, it's because of Christ, which we receive only through faith. Believer, you're forgiven. You are righteous in Christ. You are in Christ. You are different. And that's real. And that's part of the antithesis. The difference between the darkness and the light, the children of God, the children of light, and the children of darkness. It's a real difference as real and stark as that between light and dark. You and I are in the world, but we are not of the world. You have been redeemed, bought back. Praise God. On this first day of the new year, hear this about who you are, believer, in Christ. You have been redeemed, bought, and brought out of evil, out of God's wrath, out of spiritual darkness, moral filth that is so joined to these evil days. The days are evil, yes, but by God's grace, you are not that anymore. Remember who you are in Christ. Open your eyes. Live in the light. This is a call to examine ourselves, isn't it? Christ has redeemed. Are you redeemed? Is that indeed what you are? Where is your heart? What did you do last night? What will you do in future days? Is it sexual immorality? Impurity? Is it covetousness? Idolatry? Is it filthiness and foolish talk? Is it crude joking? These are just sins listed by the Apostle Paul here. Others could be joined to it. They're written elsewhere in the Word of God. Is that where your heart is? Then no, as the Apostle says, God's wrath is upon such who do that. By God's grace, turn from that. Confess them to God. Even believers, we fall into sin. That's why Paul says, don't let this characterize you. Reflect on this past year, yes, and going forward. By God's grace, turn from that. Confess it. And know that for the sake of Jesus' suffering and his death on Golgotha's cross, God forgives you. It is a new year, but that's not where our hope is. Our hope is in the new life God gives in Christ. Believer, you are forgiven. We who are believers continue to ask God to forgive, yes, for this evil still pulls at us. These immoral desires, filthy speech. Ask God daily to renew you. Trust him. Turn from sin. And we all need this, the youngest among us, the oldest and most mature. For while we have been redeemed, the sinful nature clings. These days are evil. Our nature is evil, our sinful nature. But always remember, believer, you have been redeemed. You are no longer in darkness. We need to hear that message, the gospel message, that everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. It's better than a new year. It's a new creation. As we hear this, as we meditate, as we remember, as we believe, we are then positioned to act, to live according to who we are in Christ. And we come to then in our third point, we are redeemed, now we are to redeem the days, redeem the days. God urges us through the apostle, verses 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Other translations, we kind of got at the literal translation, redeeming the time. That's a good way of approaching life. Not mired always in self-pity and how horrible things are, but you've been redeemed, now get busy. Now, sometimes when talking about how to live, when husbands and wives discuss this, when parents, they set down the rules, right, the family rules, when different families in the congregation observe what other families do, maybe sometimes people bristle at certain rules. Now, sometimes it's good reason that they bristle, because there are some who claim to be Christian that think that by their rules they're entering the kingdom of heaven. They're not living by grace through faith, but by their works, and they pile their own rule upon rule that God hasn't instituted. As we've seen in our series through Matthew, that's a type of legalism, isn't it? Well, there's a good reason to bristle against that. Sometimes, though, people bristle for wrong reasons. They know someone who's a true Christian, who's living by God's grace through faith, who's living an ordered, well-reasoned, regulated life, but they bristle when they see only the rules and they miss the heart of the person. Well, the error there is with the one who bristles, because that one's still living within a framework of rules and checklists, but he's abandoned the rules. He's kicked against the rules. That type of person who bristles in that way is going the opposite extreme of the legalist, but still operating in the same framework, that of man's rules. And they too aren't living by grace through faith. But Paul tells us here, God tells us, look carefully. Carefully think. Reason. Compare with Scripture. Look carefully then how you walk. That is, not literally walking, And we do that on the ice, don't we? We walk carefully. Well, think of it spiritually, living. The days are evil. There's spiritual ice out there. Look carefully. Be careful. You know, we see, don't we, sometimes a young child might run out and not see the ice, and what happens? Now, they can take it. They're young. They don't break bones like older people do. We have to be careful. We all have to be careful spiritually. Young people, as you grow and mature and you begin to wonder, why does my family do this? Ask your parents. Well, don't assume they're just rules, legalistic rules that hinder you. But also, don't think those are rules by which you're right with God either. Christ redeemed us from our sins. Our righteousness is in Him alone. It's through faith alone His righteousness is credited, not man's rules. And we need to have that background, don't we? That identity that we considered in our second point, that we are redeemed. Because only then can we come in this third point to consider how to redeem the days, to make the best use of our time, to look carefully how you walk, to walk in wisdom. That's an umbrella for Christian living, for the rules that we have in our families, in our personal lives. As Christians, we are certainly to talk about right and wrong, God's law, but also not as unwise, but as wise. Paul brought that in here too. Not just right and wrong, but unwise and wise. And they're connected, certainly. But we as Christians are to talk about what is best, what is wise. Just because something is not wrong doesn't mean, well, we can do it then. Young people, that's important to ask. Ask, is it right? Then also ask, is it wise? How is it wise? The legalist needs to understand that and repent of his legalism, and the one who lives loosely needs to understand that and repent of their looseness. Righteousness is in Christ alone. But then we approach life this way. Yes, what is right, but also what is wise? To look carefully. We ought to look carefully how we walk, how we live. God tells us to. The days are evil. Don't live ignorant of that. Don't live as though the days are neutral, or as though the days are Christian, because they aren't. They're evil. But you, by grace, are not. And so consider then carefully what you do as an individual, what you do as a family. How do you spend your time? How will you spend your week? How will you spend your money? How will you spend your effort, your talents? Is leisure your goal? Is work your goal? Is the weekend your goal? Is what you're doing wise? How is it wise? Is it making the best use of the time? That's what God calls us to do. It is good that we are beginning this year with worship. Is it commanded? No. Is it wise? Oh, yes. We need to hear the gospel. We need to hear instruction for our lives. And we think about the world then, and coming back to, do we need to shun our involvement in society? We aren't required to do that. But we must be careful. We must be wise by God's grace. Now, as God's servant, I don't have authority to tell you specifics then from this pulpit. In this matter, do this, don't do this, because God doesn't reveal those specifics here. But He does give the charge to each Christian. Look carefully how you walk. That is clear. Not as unwise, but as wise. You can't hand off, you can't abdicate your duty to me or to someone else. You have to put in the prayer, you have to put in the thinking, the meditating, the Bible reading and applying. You can't just be spoon-fed from me or from someone else. Man, this is especially for you as head of the household. Take time with your wife to reason through life, to be wise, to act wisely by God's grace. Understand the evil days. Understand you've been redeemed from evil through Christ's death. Now apply that in your life. We need to hear that message at the beginning of this new year. Now, it's not always easy, is it? Spouses don't always agree. Children don't always agree with their parents. Families within this church don't always agree, do we? Young people, you don't always understand or agree with your parents about their house rules. Seek to understand in a submissive, humble way, not in a challenging way. Certainly don't dismiss or disrespect or disobey your parents in that. Submit to them. They are generally wiser than you. They are generally more spiritually mature than you. They have more experience than you, certainly. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Honor them. And young adults, when you move out of the house and you establish your own household, you will be responsible before God for this. It's a big responsibility that your parents, particularly your father, bear, having to guide not just themselves, but a family. Made up of all different types of people and ages and maturities. Children, pray for your parents. Pray that God would continue to give them wisdom as they seek to have the family walk in a gospel-centered way. Parents, consider your household rules. Are they just rules? Or can you point out the biblical wisdom in them? Don't exasperate your children by setting up arbitrary rules or rules based on your own lusts and wants. Be wise. Look carefully by God's grace. And as we notice differences, we've seen in this past year, we'll see it again, differences between one another, be patient. Act charitably. It doesn't mean we have to be silent about differences. In fact, on the contrary, it would be wonderful if we could discuss openly, frankly, compare notes as it is. But we have lots of stresses and strains. There's only so much time. Not one family, not one individual in the congregation has all the wisdom there is to have. Some are wiser than others, and our situations are all different. But the Holy Spirit indwells each believer. And we can benefit from one another, iron sharpening iron. So talk about differences as the Lord gives opportunity, as it arises, as your relationship with others allows it. Younger ones, observe the older ones. God's blessed us with a congregation where we have a wonderful spectrum and diversity. We're a very diverse congregation in terms of young to old. Watch, talk, listen, learn, love, change. Be wise. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And this is a wonderful way to witness to others in this coming year. To live as the children of the light. Live as those who are not in spiritual darkness. Young people, you'll be given many opportunities to witness to others as they observe your lifestyle. If you base your life on wisely living what you are in Christ, then when people ask you, don't say, well, that's just the way I was raised. But you can give a very Christ-centered answer. Redeemed by Jesus, redeeming the time, making the best use of it. And isn't that what we want to do? To testify to God's grace in Christ. Here's a wonderful way in 2021 and throughout our lives. And therefore, by God's grace, use your time wisely in these days. And as you do so, may you have a blessed new year. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for instructing us of the pitfalls around us, of the days being evil. Thank you even more for redeeming us, for bringing us out of darkness, for forgiving us, for changing us. Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith in Jesus, that we would not walk in filthiness and immorality and idolatry, but we would walk as children of the light. And give us grace then to walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise, applying your law, applying the truths in your word, humbly, patiently, carefully, And Lord, as you give us opportunities then to tell others why we live how we live, when they ask us why we don't follow them, why we don't get drunk, why we don't say those filthy jokes, give us courage then. Not to say that's just how I was raised, that's just the rules of my house, but to say, here's who Jesus is. Let me tell you about life and light and meaning and joy. Lord, we pray in all these things that you would be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.